Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Somehow, God is in me, and there's a sense in which I am like God and man all at once.
Many religions claim that we will all eventually be gods. The Bible says something so much better. It says, no, God will continue to be God. Man will continue to be man, but God will come upon man.
No way!
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Law jokes are not funny. This is Wretched Radio. No doubt you've heard lots of comedy about in-laws, the mother-in-law, the dumb father-in-law, the overbearing Karen. Yuck, yuck, yuck. But it's not funny if your relationship with your in-laws isn't healthy. We have a lot of jokes, but we don't see much help in this relational dynamic of marriage. Do you have in-laws? Well, you do if you're married. Do you know how to do the in-law dance? If you don't, you are going to dig this like a nobody's business. And if you perhaps are married, but your kids aren't to the level, to the age of getting married themselves, you're going to need this really bad, because the transition from childhood to adulthood is a tricky one for mom and dad. And then, after the kids spend their teenage years trying to distance themselves from you, then they say adios. And then they say I do to somebody else. And everything is changed, and it is hard. And sometimes the adults, the parents, they misbehave in the relationship, and frequently so do the kids. So this is for all of us, courtesy of Wayne Mack. Quiz question for you. Does the Bible address the subject of in-laws? Jimmy, you're going to get this wrong too. How many stories in the Bible or verses do we have about how to interact and relate to the in-laws?
I don't know.
See, I was like, what? Bible doesn't talk about in-laws and relationships. Yeah.
I think it
actually
does.
It does. In the book of Genesis, we find that Isaac and Rebekah had some problems with the wives of Esau. The Bible says they brought much grief to their hearts. Maybe that describes you, mom and dad. Your child's spouse is bringing you much grief. The Bible understands. It has a word to say. The Bible tells us of the in-law problem that Jacob had with Laban. Remember how sour that ended? That was father-in-law, son-in-law. Hold on, there's more. The book of Judges reveals Samson had problems with his in-laws. That's Judges 15:1-8. David had in-law problems. If you recall, his father-in-law wanted to kill him and spent years hunting him to off his son-in-law. So when we see that many stories in the Bible of the struggles between in-laws, we shouldn't be surprised that we see that struggle today. And you shouldn't be surprised if you're having that struggle in your life. The problem is we just haven't been talking about it. We haven't prepared anybody for it. You have got somebody who is born and does what they are told for years. Parenting is a piece of cake in that regard. When they start to get a mind of their own, they start to have different opinions. And it's hard to accept that. I write about this, by the way, in Reset for Parents. It's a chapter about not clinging too closely and not letting too go-ly, whatever it was called. Basically, you got to increasingly let the kids go, make their decisions, because they don't belong to you. They're not yours. They're a gift. And that thought will help you. It won't completely fix all of the challenges and the dynamics and the emotional struggles of losing a child, seeing them get married, leaving you, not doing everything you say, but it's going to help. You don't own them. God has given them to you. And then, and this is a hard word if you've got kids, then your children, when they get old enough, they actually enter into a deeper relationship than the relationship they have with you. Now, first of all, that shouldn't bother you because it's biblical. Second of all, you're in that married relationship, so you got your own. The Bible describes marriage as being profoundly deeper than even the parent-child relationship. You don't see Bible verses about till death do us part with parent and child. You do see it with marriage. You see leaving, you see cleaving, and you see marriage elevated as the primary institution. And we see that, by the way, in Ephesians chapter 5 through 6. Paul starts to address human relationships. Where does he start? Husband, wife. Then he goes to parent, children. Then he gets to work. Work, you know, where you go to get your paycheck. And that order is repeated in the book of Colossians. It's also repeated in the list of qualifications for elders. Spouse, spouse, spouse. That's the primary relationship. Mom and dad, that might help you let go of your kids. They're leaving your relationship to go into the one that's the biggie, marriage. Now, does that mean you're not going to cry about it? Didn't say that, but it does help us to realize these kids don't belong to us, and marriage is the institution that should come first. Now, having said all of that, there are other indicators that the marriage relationship that your child enters into is tighter than the one that you have. Marriage is a one-flesh relationship. Two become one. You don't hear that talk about parent and child. We love our kids to pieces. We all do. But the relationship that your child is going to enter into with another human being that doesn't share the same bloodline is actually more profound than your relationship currently with your kid. That should help us realize, okay, I need to defer to that relationship. I need to stop intruding into their situation because, hey, that's the biggie. They're doing like this is the big act, the big play that we're in. It's called marriage. I'm not going to heckle. I'm not going to jeer. I'm not going to kick the director out of his chair and tell him how to run the show. I demur as a parent. That sure is easy to say, isn't it? And so now Wayne Mack, in his very helpful book titled In-Laws, Married with Parents, this is a resource for biblically working through it. He divides his approach to talking to the kids and then talking to the parents. Sorry for calling you kids, but that's just the way we think. You, as a child who is getting married, you need to be thinking of some things. And so Wayne Mack, and these sometimes are actually hard for the parents to listen to. He tells the kids some things that cause us to go, I don't really like that. But it does help us to do parenting right until we say, son, she's all yours, or vice versa. So let's make our way through Wayne Mack's helpful book titled In-Laws, Married with Parents. He describes and defines what it means to leave father and mother. There's another indicator marriage is the primary relationship. You leave it. You mean you leave it. Now, that gets tricky because we don't leave behind honoring our parents, but we do leave them. And Wayne Mack, who's counseled hundreds of couples throughout the years, confessed in this book that he meets all kinds of people who fail to leave father and mother. And they should. First, leaving father and mother does not mean that adult children stop honoring their parents. There's no time qualification for this. Proverbs 23:22 warns, listen to your father. Don't despise your mother when she's old. Jesus rebuked the Pharisees about their treatment of parents. If anyone doesn't provide for his relatives, said Paul to Timothy, and especially for his immediate family, he's denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. So you're going to leave them, but you don't stop honoring them. Number two, leaving father and mother does not simply mean moving out of the parents' house. It means leaving behind your parents' way of doing things, unless they're good and biblical. But if they're optional, you can change them. Your reliance on them, your need for them all the time, that needs to be left behind and it needs to be aimed at your spouse. Leaving doesn't mean that you dishonor. It doesn't mean that you become nasty. Doesn't mean you never call. But it does mean that there are certain aspects of the parent-child relationship that have to be put off after marriage. Here's your put off, put on concept. You put this off, you put that on. At the same time, other things must be put on in terms of the parent-child relationship after marriage. May I ask you a question? Did you work through this before your kids got married? Did you work through this with your parents before you got married? Did you at all try to orchestrate the dance so that fewer toes get stepped on? I suspect not. I don't know many people who do this sort of marriage counseling. We tend to just leave out the dynamic of in-laws, and we shouldn't, because the Bible is clear. It can cause problems, and both parties need to be doing it correctly. How exactly do you do that? You're the child getting married. What do you put off? Exactly. What do you put on? Mom and dad, your turn after the kids. What do you need to put off and put on so that your in-law dance is like a ball ballet? It just doesn't hurt your tootsies. This is Wretched Radio.
Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know what keeps us up at night? It's watching our culture sprint away from biblical truth like it's running a marathon in the wrong direction. But here's the thing. While others might be tiptoeing around tough issues, we're digging our heels in and standing firm. That's kind of our thing at Fortis Institute. And right now, this very moment, something incredible is happening. A generous friend of the ministry looked at what we're doing and said, hey, let's pour some rocket fuel on this. They're matching every single gift through December the 31st up to $500,000. Think about that. Your gift doesn't just support bold biblical teaching. It literally doubles in impact. Listen, I'm not just talking about keeping the lights on. I'm talking about equipping believers, strengthening local churches, and being that clear voice of truth in a world that desperately needs it. So if you want to make your year-end giving count twice, just visit FortisInstitute.org. That's FortisInstitute.org. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Beautiful campus. All of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number six for preparing students for the real world. All that. Plus, the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Breaking news. In a world where biblical truth is increasingly rare, Fortis Institute is actually expanding. We're expanding our reach every single month. And get this, churches are actually getting stronger through solid biblical teaching. And here's the story. Your gift gets doubled right now through a matching grant. That means twice the impact, twice the reach, twice the transformation. Think more resources, more teaching, more churches equipped with truth that matters. We're not just maintaining around here. We're growing. More radio stations, more content, more believers getting equipped, more churches being strengthened. And unlike those clickbait headlines the world tries to feed us, this is actual verifiable impact. The fine print? Just one thing. The matching grant opportunity ends December the 31st. That's it. No complicated conditions, just a straightforward chance to double your impact. Visit FortisInstitute.org. That's FortisInstitute.org. Because while everybody else is backing down, we're stepping up. FortisInstitute.org.
Books of the Bible. 1 Samuel tells the story of God's interaction with Israel through the prophet Samuel. When Israel asked for an earthly king, God gave them Saul, who, like Israel, drifted from God's law. So God commanded Samuel to anoint a new king, David, who was a man after God's heart. God does not look on the outward appearance, but on the heart. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Let's do the in-law dance. This is Wretched Radio. Wayne Mack writing a book, In-Laws Married with Parents, teaches the kids that are getting married, you got to put off and put on. The parents of the children need to put off, put on. Otherwise, you're going to clod your way through it. There will be disharmony. There will be more fights in everybody's home, more heartache and disappointment. Ain't nobody happy when you got in-law problems. So let's make our way through what the young people, the whippersnappers, the kids getting married need to put off and put on, courtesy of Wayne Mack. Children must leave behind an inordinate dependency on their parents when they get married. You got to leave them. And not depend on them and think, well, I'll just call mom and dad all day, every day to get advice. Mm-mm. Children must put off the natural imitative or reactionary relationship that they have with their parents. In other words, they should not automatically do things the same way that their parents did just because that's the way they're used to seeing their mothers and fathers do it. And if you're a mom and dad, you're like, come on! That's how we taught them. I know, that's how you do it. And if it doesn't have a Bible verse attached to it, in other words, it's not a command, it's just a preference, you've got to let the kids do home and marriage their way. Why? Because they've got a dance partner and they've come from a family background too. And if they don't both put these behind, they're going to clash. Tell me you didn't get into... This is just still humiliating to this day. I remember when we first got married, my wife's biggest problem is the way she folded bath towels. I mean, honestly, clearly she didn't know what she was doing. She went corner to corner. That's not the way to do it. You fold it in a third, then you fold it in the other third, and then you roll it up, and then you put it on the shelf with the round part facing out. So when you grab it, it's like you're at a hotel. That's how you fold towels. I had not put behind the way towels were folded in my family. And it caused grief. Boy, wish I'd read this booklet. Children must put off an inordinate reliance on their parents' approval. You can't be making decisions with your mate wanting mom and dad to be happy with you. Now, you should seek their wisdom. That is certain, but you just don't live for their approval. Wayne Mack says, a number of women say things like, if his mother wants him to do something, he goes right over and does it. But if I need something done, forget about it. Uh-oh. Perhaps that man has not left behind and is living too much for his mother's approval and not for his spouse's approval. Children must put off close and exclusive confidence with parents. In other words, their parents should not be the primary ones with whom they share all their secrets anymore. That's with your spouse. There are men who have this problem, but this aspect of leaving parents seems to be a bit more problematic for the Goyles. You put off a close and exclusive confidence with parents. Further, children must be willing to give up their traditions regarding family structure and function if Scripture does not command these traditions. We always put the stockings above the fireplace. What are you doing hanging them on the wall? Okay, that's your tradition. Rock on. But don't impose it on your kids. And kids need to be willing to leave it behind because you have got somebody else to consider. Be willing to give up traditions regarding family structures and function if Scripture does not command them. If it does, of course, then we're all submissive to that. Children must put off the tendency to play the blame game. As long as this is a little tricky, but as long as people play the blame game, my parents, they did this, they didn't do enough of that, I wasn't encouraged, they didn't let me go to... They didn't provide enough. We were poor. They're not leaving them as God intended, but remain attached. Harboring bitterness or resentment toward parents ties a person to your parents, and you're cutting those strings while still honoring them. When people stop blaming and condemning, they leave behind all the bitterness and resentment they've carried with them from their childhood. Now, the next question, of course, is how do you put things on? Because you never just take things off. Stop doing this. You need to start doing other things. Replace the bad with the good. Put off, put on. Children must put on a peer or friendship relationship with their parents. This one's hard for a lot of reasons. They've been your child for 18, 20, 22 years, or the average age kids are getting married these days, 39. Suddenly, we're supposed to be friends. It is hard for both parties because the kids can abuse it. Get real casual with mom and dad. Not honor them very much. And parents, on the other hand, can resist it and reject it because it's like, you just do what you're told. You're not like one of my peers. And that's another one of the challenges. You've got a generation gap. Don't overlook this. The things that you're interested in at 40 and 50 are not the same interests of a 25-year-old. And you've got to make that adjustment. If you don't, you're going to struggle. Children must put on a peer or friendship relationship with their kids. The relationship of dependency that people had with their parents as children must be replaced with peer relationships. Wayne gets into how to do that. You'll have to get the booklet, In-Laws. Children must accept responsibility for making their own decisions. After marriage, it is proper for the kids to seek the counsel of their parents. Now, however, the mothers and fathers should be regarded and respected as advisors and resources of wisdom rather than authority figures. Hey, how much do I hate that? A lot, because that's been my role. And apparently I liked it because I'm not real fond of giving it up, but give it up we must, and so must the kids. Children must put on the willingness to honestly and respectfully discuss their family backgrounds with their mates without becoming defensive. This is super helpful. In the back of this book on in-laws, Wayne Mack encourages this. This is. I want to dive into all of these, but I'll just give you a taste of what he provides for us here. Discuss together your family of origin. Discuss these items and evaluate the similarities and differences that have affected you personally and how they could affect your marriage. This is so helpful because we bring all that stuff. This is how you fold towels, dear. Okay, now that I know, oh, that's how you folded your towels. I can think that through. I can figure it out and not be agitated because my wife doesn't fold bed towels the way my mommy did. Oh, man. Family occupations, blue collar versus white collar. Both parents work or just one works. Makes a difference when you're going to be making decisions about kids. We'll dive into that list another time. But for now, that's something that the children must be doing. Look at your family of origin further. You must put on the determination to make their mate, rather than their parents or anyone else, the most significant human being in their lives. A lot of people struggle with that. Further, children must be prepared to give their mate's parents the same respect and honor they give their own parents. Well, there's one for you. So my son-in-law is called upon to honor me and Mrs. Friel the same way he honors his mom and dad. Seriously, have you heard any of this stuff before? Have you ever? I mean, how is it that we could have been so blind to the need for this sort of counsel? Here's some practical guidelines for leaving. Kids must not allow their parents to demean their mate. If a mother accuses her son-in-law of something, wife comes to his defense. Second, we should always look for ways to commend and build up our mate to our parents. Rather than running back to your parents to complain about what he did or what she doesn't do, how's about you say a good word about your parents? Otherwise, your parents are not going to be very fond of your spouse if all they hear are complaints about them. They're going to think that their little dumpling married poorly. He's the problem. Third, we should always make an effort to be sure that our mate feels included in family discussions and activities. Sometimes, without even realizing it, mates are treated as outsiders when family get together. Don't let that happen to your spouse. Remember, we're addressing the kids here. We haven't gotten to the parents yet. See? Just so you know, if you heard that and went, oh, he's calling us a kid, give us some grace. Just give us some grace. You're our kids, and that's just the way we see it. If the Lord lets me live long enough, my kids are going to be 50, And they're still going to be my kids. My kids. But you must make sure that you defend your spouse, you promote your spouse, you speak a good word about your spouse, and make sure that they're included in discussion so that the family table doesn't turn into stories of yesteryear where they feel totally left out. Fourth, it is important for husbands and wives to choose a course of action together when problems arise with a parent. Ugh. Come up with the battle plan before you engage in the war. It's so helpful. These are different ways of preparing to leave your mother and father and how you must really leave your mother and father. I hope you will do these things, but we haven't addressed parents and what we must do as our children leave and cleave to their new spouse. We'll do that next on Wretched Radio.